Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a look at week 3 of the June 2015 celestial timings. And we're beginning this week with Sunday, June 14th, the earliest sunrise of the year. And I always find it fascinating that the earliest sunrise always happens before the solstice, and the latest sunset is always after the solstice. And the longest day of the year is on the solstice. And it's kind of the average between the two, I guess, is that it kind of falls in between the two of them. Anyway, we're in the time of the greatest amount of light, and there's really about 3 weeks when the days are pretty long, and there's only just less than a minute difference each day. That this is happening. So you really wouldn't necessarily notice unless you are keeping track with a very precise clock. And on June 14th, the sun is exactly conjunct Mars. And this is marking the center point of that Mars underworld journey. And a time when Mars is with the source of light and life. You know, that pure source energy. And so sourcing a new way of experiencing, rebirth into new ways of being, expressing the sacred masculine. And particularly when we think about it from the perspective of the Libra journey that Mars is on, even though Mars is in the sign of Gemini, as is the Sun, but the overall theme, the overall quest of Mars right now is connected to the Libra mysteries. And so this is about how does the sacred masculine die to the old paradigm, the patriarchal paradigm that we have been in? And how does Mars release and let go of the control programs, the domination programs, the ways of being dominant? And even within the masculine principle, there's been hierarchy of dominance. So we had, we've had kings, we have rulers, pharaohs, whatever they want to call them, maharajas in India. And then you have different hierarchy of the masculine. And then, of course, how that is also related to the feminine and so on. So it's really, from the Libra perspective, how do we come to a place of equal, realizing that everybody has gifts, everybody has a value, and they're all equally valued, maybe not the same gifts, but they all have equal value. So something just to contemplate as Mars is with the Sun and dying to this old domination control program that's been going on for thousands of years and ideally birthing into something new. And on the night of, or the day, actually I guess it's the day of the 14th, and visible that night, the moon will be passing the Pleiades during the day, so just beyond the Pleiades at night, and also catching up, or, visible, catching up to Mercury. Mercury is sitting between I've put star maps up, it's kind of sitting there between the moon and Aldebaran and the Pleiades above. So definitely worth checking out the star map to get a sense of that, and then going out into the sky to see if you can see in the early morning that waning moon as it's approaching Mercury and passing the Pleiades. Now, also on the 14th, Saturn is returning to Scorpio. It'll be re-entering Scorpio at 5:38 p.m., and it's going to stay in Scorpio until September 17th. So this is the last round of Saturn through Scorpio until it re-enters Scorpio in about 27 or 28 years from now. It'll be a while down the road. And if we think about Saturn as helping to create the structure and form for whatever the focus is, and when it's in Scorpio, and Scorpio has the ability to access the shamanic worlds, the upper world, lower world, middle world, it has the ability to work shamanically and to work with life force energy and passion and intensity. So Saturn can help bring into a structure, into a practical form, the ability to really use these gifts. And one of the things I've noticed lately is it seems like there's an acceleration of interest in shamanic practices through classes and books and events and things that I see, and people being drawn to that kind of work. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Saturn has been going through Scorpio for the last couple of years, and it has its last few weeks of going through Scorpio starting on the 14th of June till the 17th of September. So, and then the moon is going, on that same day, is going to occult Mercury, who's just stationed direct. There's going to be an occultation, and it will be hard to see. It won't be something that's easy to see, and it's also going to be happening at a time when Mercury is not visible in the sky. However, we will feel the effect of it, and then also the moon is going to occult Aldebaran a few hours later. So first it occults Mercury, then it occults Aldebaran. It's in a series of occultations to Aldebaran, but it's, you know, so close to the sun, Aldebaran, that it may or may not be visible. And again, that's going to be in the morning sky. So this is the sixth occultation this year, and we're in a series of 49 occultations that will last until 2018. So and again, similar to what's going on with Uranus and the moon occultations, that it exponentially increases with each occultation. And this really has a lot to do with the fact that the moon goes through a 19-year cycle. And in that 19-year cycle, it either goes way out of bounds or it stays way inside the boundaries of the sun. It never reaches as far out as the sun can go. And right now we're in the inner standstill, or that time when it's inside the boundaries of the sun, and that's what's creating the series of occultations. Of course, Aldebaran is one of the four royal stars. It is connected to Archangel Michael, the Watcher of the East. It was seen as one of the stars, or it was seen as the key, I guess we could say, the key to the Silver Gate near the galactic edge, whereas an Antares is the key to the Golden Gate at the galactic center. And the Egyptians saw that Aldebaran was the Ankh, or the key, that Orion was holding in his hand to open up that gateway. So these occultations are activating the gateway, and each one, of course, is building on the last, so it's exponentially increasing the power and the insights that are available to us coming in as the moon is occulting the star, and will continue to do so for the next almost 3 years. So the new moon then will be on June 18th at 6:06 a.m. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's passing Mars at 6:06 a.m., and then it passes the sun at 7:05 a.m. So the exact new moon point where the sun and the moon are together is at 7:05 a.m., which means that the crescent moon that was the when the crescent moon was visible was when many cultures actually considered it to be the actual new moon. And it is in Gemini, so that is the crazy coyote energy. The possibility for doing something unexpected and fun, and letting go of our perceptions around perfection, so that we can have more creative play and freedom. Because of course, Gemini is also very much about freedom. And this new moon is in zodiacal alignment with a fixed star called Betelgeuse. I put in a star map and a lot of stories about Betelgeuse. It's one of the stars of the winter triangle, and is now visible in the morning sky. Yeah, because it's the winter time. It's visible in the evening sky. So this is definitely not going to be something you can see right now. But Betelgeuse may be visible, and then of course the sun. is just a few days away from being on the exact galactic cross, and you can see the star maps for more information about that. But the winter triangle has Betelgeuse, a star called Procyon, and another star that's very well known called Sirius, and the plane of the galaxy goes right through that triangle of stars. And so some cultures saw that river of stars or that highway of stars as the place that souls come into this reality, coming down through through that river of stars, coming into incarnation here. And so very a profound place for the new moon to be taking place, and worth tuning into that. Those seeing what insights can come for you around that as well. And then on June 17th, the sun is moving into its zodiacal alignment with the fixed star Polaris. And we talked about Vega was the turning star, the pole star, 13,000 years ago, and now it's Polaris. And this is the point in the sky that does not move, and everything turns around it. And I put in some star maps that you can find Polaris if you're interested in doing that. If you're, depending on where you are, how far Polaris is above the horizon, if you're in the northern hemisphere, if you're at the equator, you don't see Polaris because it's right at the equator. But the further north you go, the higher and higher that star gets in the sky. I'm around 32 degrees north latitude, so it's about 32 degrees above the horizon where I live. And then people who live further north, it's actually even higher up. So that's pretty cool. And it's a guiding star. So if we think of the sun guiding us through our day, and also illuminating our path and providing light and life for us, and then Polaris is the star that guides at night. So when the sun has disappeared, that star lets people know, or lets navigators know what's the north point. So when we have the sun coming into the zodiacal alignment with Polaris, and of course because Polaris is in the north and the sun is in the east or the west, Polaris is always visible. So there's a lot of light and guidance that's available to us at this time. And then on June 18th, the moon is going to enter Leo and will catch up to Jupiter. Well, it's going to pass the Beehive Cluster on the 19th, and it's also going to be passing by Venus on June 20th when Venus retrieves her crown, the crown chakra, the seventh gate, since she rose from the underworld last December. And this is the closest Venus-Moon conjunction at a solstice, as well as with Jupiter, and they're within pretty close. They're very close together. Venus and Jupiter, and by the end of the month, in 10 days from June 20th, they will be within a third of a degree with each other. So they're within a couple of degrees of each other at the time of this. So the Moon, Venus, and Jupiter all together, this is going to be a spectacular solstice time, definitely worth tuning into and noting and working with the retrieval of the crown chakra. And it feels like the divine feminine and her retrieving of her crown and her connection to the divine, her own divine authority, her inner divine authority, her connection to the divine, the wisdom of the divine, the crown chakra being fully in place when she retrieves that, with Jupiter as witness. And so as the divine feminine reclaims her place as queen of heaven and regains her crown, Jupiter is there to witness that, to support that, to see that happen. And it's happening at the solstice, at a solar gateway. And this is such a rare occurrence for it to happen. It feels like it's going to be one of the most significant Venus-Moon conjunctions at the crown chakra, at the return of the crown, that we've had in many years and maybe many years to come. So definitely worth working with ceremonially, going out and looking at them in the sky. And they're not that far from Regulus, one of the four royal stars. So, soon after, Jupiter and Venus will catch up to Regulus. But Regulus is kind of in the picture as well. let's see. So that's happening on June 20th, and then the solstice is on June 21st. That night, on the night of the 21st, the moon will have moved beyond Venus and Jupiter, but kind of still be in that area, that crescent moon, in that area of the sky. So we have these 2 days of high ceremony where our intentions, our prayers, our invocations, our ways of being with this that honor these planets, and they're coming together. And I always see three planetary bodies, Jupiter, Venus, and the moon in this case, as like a triune council. So what are they in council about? What's the message, and how can we work with that? And then the moon on the night of the during the day of the 21st will pass Regulus, and then by that night will be beyond Regulus. So definitely worth noting. And of course, Regulus is a royal star, and it has a lot to do with the heart because it's the heart of the lion. So just really wonderful imagery that we can work with around that to celebrate this very special solstice. And any solar gateway is a point when the sun is, it's like there's that place where it's a doorway. The sun is a doorway, so we can access the portal. We can access the light codes and energy. And when the sun is on the cross at the galactic edge, that is the portal where the souls enter this reality. So what information is coming in through that portal as the sun passes there at the time of this Venus reclaiming her crown with Jupiter and the moon? So that ends the third week of June 2015.